This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to teach emotional control strategies to someone who keeps escalating conflicts with you. A field-tested process for staying grounded when someone else keeps losing theirs. In short, emotional control strategies only change a conflict pattern when one person holds the new behaviour steadily, even when the other person does not. You cannot force someone to regulate. You can make the old pattern unrewarding and model a better one until they start to copy it. Regulate yourself first, every time, before attempting anything else. Introduce the tools between conflicts, not during them. Consistency over weeks is what shifts the pattern. A single good conversation is not enough. Definition: emotional control strategies are deliberate techniques for managing your physiological and emotional response during conflict so that your behavior stays measured rather than reactive. They include breathing methods, structured pauses, naming emotions aloud, and scripted responses that slow the escalation cycle. You were in the middle of a straightforward conversation when the temperature shifted. A word landed wrong, or maybe nothing particular happened at all, and suddenly the other person was raised in voice, jutting down, or pushing hard. You tried to stay calm. You probably managed it for a minute. Then you got pulled in, said something sharper than you intended, and by the end of it, you were both worse off than when you started. Afterward, you wondered how to stop the same thing happening next week. This is where most advice fails you. It tells you to stay calm, as if the problem is simply a decision. The real difficulty is that emotional control strategies require practice under conditions that make practice nearly impossible. High arousal, a relationship you care about, and another person whose nervous system is doing everything it can to pull yours into the same state. Learning to hold your ground in that moment, and then to help someone else develop the same capacity, takes a real process. This article gives you that process, step by step. Why teaching emotional control to someone else is a different problem entirely. Most guides on conflict resolution treat emotional control as a personal skill, something you build for yourself. They are right, as far as they go. But when you are trying to shift the pattern with a specific person who keeps escalating, you face something harder. You are trying to teach a skill to someone who does not know they are in the class. You cannot hand a colleague or partner a worksheet on emotional regulation and expect results. The moment they feel criticized, any capacity for reflection closes down. What you are really doing is creating conditions in which the other person can begin to learn, mostly by watching what you do, and by noticing that the old pattern no longer gets the old result. That is a slower and more indirect process, and it requires you to understand co-regulation, the fact that one regulated nervous system in a room exerts a genuine pull on every other nervous system present. If you want to understand the neurological mechanics behind why people lose control so suddenly in conflict, the article on what the amygdala hijack is and how it silently blocks team synergy in high-pressure moments is worth reading before you go further. What needs to be in place before you begin? Before you can teach anything, two things must be true. First, you need to have a genuine handle on your own triggers with this person. Not perfect control, but enough self-awareness to know what sets you off and why. If you cannot identify the moment you start to escalate, you will not be able to interrupt it. Spend time before any difficult interaction naming your own pressure points and deciding in advance what you will do when you feel them activate. Second, the relationship needs enough baseline trust that the other person will stay in a conversation with you at all. If every interaction is already adversarial, you will need to rebuild some ground before any of these steps will hold. The work of addressing unmet needs that drive team conflict can help you understand what might be driving the other person's reactivity before you go further. A step-by-step process for shifting the escalation pattern. Step 1. Regulate your own nervous system before the conversation begins. This is the step most people skip because it seems too simple. It is not simple. Your physiological state before a conversation starts shapes everything that follows. Walk into the interaction already tense and you will read neutral comments as threats. You will tighten your tone without knowing it. You will lose the half-second pause you need. Before any conversation you expect to be difficult, spend 2 minutes doing one thing. Breathe slowly out. A longer exhale than inhale activates the parasympathetic system. It is not meditation, it is mechanics. Do it before you enter the room, before you pick up the phone, before you send the message. Step 2. Set the physiological anchor during escalation. When the other person begins to escalate, your body reacts before your mind does. You need a physical anchor you have already decided to use. This is a small, deliberate action that interrupts your automatic response. Choose one, press one foot flat to the floor, place your hand flat on a surface, or take one slow breath in through the nose. The action does not matter. What matters is that you choose it in advance and use it consistently, so your nervous system learns it as a signal to hold rather than react. This is not a trick. It is the foundation of every emotional control strategy worth knowing. Step 3. Name what is happening without accusation. When someone is escalating, the worst thing you can do is respond to the content of what they are saying as if the emotional temperature is not relevant. It is the most relevant thing in the room. You need to name it directly and calmly, without blame. You sound frustrated. I want to understand what's going on. Not. You are being aggressive. The first sentence names an observable state and opens a door. The second names a character flaw and slams one shut. The distinction matters enormously. Practice the phrasing in advance, because under pressure you will default to whatever you have rehearsed. This connects directly to the skills explored in emotional intelligence and feedback conversations, where naming emotional states is one of the most consistent tools for keeping a conversation from collapsing. Step 4. Introduce the pause as a shared tool. The pause is the most powerful emotional control strategy available, and most people only use it to get away from the other person. Used well, it is something you offer together. I think we are both getting heated. Let us take 10 minutes and come back to this. You are not abandoning the conversation. You are teaching, by demonstration, that a deliberate break is a legitimate and respected response to rising tension. Over time, the other person learns to recognize this pause as something that keeps the conversation safe rather than something that avoids it. You are building a shared tool into the relationship. Step 5. Return to the conversation with a script. Coming back after a pause without a clear opening is how conflicts reignite. You need a prepared sentence that names the shift and signals a different approach. Try this. I have had a chance to think. I want to understand your perspective on this properly. Can you walk me through what concerns you most? It is specific, it signals respect, and it redirects from position defending to genuine listening. Prepare it before the conversation resumes. Do not improvise when your arousal level is still elevated. For a deeper framework on staying calm, when a conversation triggers a defensive reaction, the core framework gives you a structured approach to exactly this moment. Step 6. Debrief the interaction when the dust has settled. This is the step that actually teaches. Not during the conflict, and not immediately after. 24 hours later, when both people have regulated, you name what happened and what helped. I noticed that when we took that break, we came back in a better place. I want to try to do more of that. You are not analyzing the other person's behavior. You are naming a pattern that served both of you. This is how you make the strategy visible, without making the other person feel like your patient. You are describing a shared success, and in doing so, you are teaching the strategy by name. Over time, they begin to reach for it themselves. Step 7. Build the practice between conflicts, not only during them. The only emotional control strategies that hold under pressure are the ones you have already used in low-stakes situations. This means you look for small moments between conflicts to practice together. A slightly tense moment in a routine conversation is where you try the pause, the naming, the measured script. You are building muscle memory when the cost of failure is low. If you work with this person on a team, the principles in de-escalating team conflict without destroying synergy give you additional tools for embedding this practice into group settings, not just one-to-one interactions. When the other person works remotely. Remote communication strips out the physiological cues that help you read when someone is escalating. You lose tone, posture, and facial expression. By the time you realize the temperature has risen in a message thread or on a call, it has often been building for several exchanges. In remote settings, your de-escalation tools shift. Move disagreements from text to voice as quickly as you can. Written messages under stress are almost always misread. Use the pause more deliberately. Let me think on this and get back to you this afternoon is the remote equivalent of stepping out of the room. And after any difficult call, send a brief, calm message that names the intention. I want to make sure we find a resolution on this. I will pick this up with you tomorrow. You are modeling regulation in writing, which is a different skill, but one that matters deeply for remote teams. The work of building emotional intelligence within team dynamics covers this kind of distributed context well. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emunblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong with these strategies. The first mistake trying to teach during the conflict. Why it happens. The moment of escalation feels like the obvious time to introduce a better approach. What to do instead? The moment of escalation is the worst time. The other person's prefrontal cortex is offline. Wait for calm, then name what you both need. The second mistake, holding the process perfectly once and then abandoning it. Why it happens. One good conversation feels like evidence that the pattern has changed. What to do instead? 4 to 6 consistent interactions is the minimum before a new pattern takes hold. Treat your first success as practice, not proof. The third mistake, naming the other person's problem rather than the shared pattern. Why it happens. Frustration is real, and sometimes you need to say something. What to do instead? We keep getting stuck at this point lands entirely differently than you always escalate. One invites collaboration, the other creates a defendant. For guidance on facilitating this kind of conversation in a group context, the article on mediating between two team members as practical language you can adapt. Your pre-conversation readiness check. Use this before any interaction you expect to be difficult. Number 1. Have I regulated my own nervous system in the last 2 minutes? Slow exhale, foot to floor, one conscious breath. Number 2. Do I know what my personal trigger points are with this person, and do I have a plan for each one? Number 3. Have I chosen my physiological anchor for this conversation? Number 4. Do I have a prepared sentence ready for naming what I observe if they escalate? Number 5. Have I decided in advance what will prompt me to call a pause? Number 6. Do I have a scripted opening for when we return to the conversation? Number 7. After this interaction, have I scheduled time to debrief what worked? Run through this list. If any item is a no, address it before the conversation starts. 5 minutes of preparation here saves 30 minutes of damage repair afterward. The truth about changing someone else's pattern. Here is what I have learned over 60 years of watching people try to change the way they communicate under pressure. You cannot reach inside another person and adjust their nervous system. That is not your territory, and no amount of good intention will make it so. What you can do is change the conditions. You can make escalation unrewarding. You can model a steadier response until it becomes familiar. You can name the better moments so the other person knows what they look like. The goal of teaching emotional control strategies is not to fix the other person. It is to change the pattern between you. That is work you do mostly on your side of the relationship, and it requires more patience than most people expect. But the shift, when it comes, tends to hold. Plant a work in solid ground, tend it consistently, and you will eventually see it grow. Frequently asked questions. What are emotional control strategies in conflict situations? Emotional control strategies are deliberate techniques you use to manage your own physiological and emotional response when a conflict begins to escalate. They include slowing your breathing, pausing before responding, naming what you are feeling, and choosing a measured reply rather than a reactive one. How do you teach emotional control strategies to someone who gets angry easily? You cannot teach directly in the heat of the moment. You introduce the idea calmly between conflicts, model the behavior consistently yourself, and name what you are doing when you do it. Over time, the other person begins to mirror your steadiness and borrow your approach. Why do emotional control strategies fail under pressure? They fail because most people only practice them when they are already calm. Emotional flooding overrides learned behavior unless you've rehearsed the response until it is almost automatic. Building the skill in low-stakes moments is what makes it available in high-stakes ones. Can you teach emotional regulation to someone who does not think they have a problem? Yes, but indirectly. You cannot hand someone a self-improvement manual when they do not believe they need one. Instead, you change what you model, what you name aloud, and what you refuse to engage with. The pattern shifts when one person in the conflict consistently refuses to escalate. What is the first step when someone starts escalating a conflict with you? The first step is to regulate yourself before you attempt anything else. Your own nervous system response determines whether the conversation climbs or levels off. If you match their arousal level, even to defend yourself, the conflict escalates. Your calm is the only lever you control. How long does it take for emotional control strategies to change a conflict pattern? Most people see a shift in the pattern within 4 to 6 consistent interactions, provided one person holds the new behavior every time. The other person tests the boundary repeatedly before accepting it. Consistency is what teaches them the old pattern no longer gets the old result. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.